Hello, everybody, and welcome to back. This is the Collaborators Unite podcast, your host, Chuck Anderson, and this is the show where we like to help what we call big impact entrepreneurs. And that's you out there in the world making a big impact with your products and services and enhancing people's lives in a positive way. And along that mission, we need a lot of things. We need leads. We need sales. We need marketing. We need stuff for ourselves. I mean, there's just so much to this journey. So I like to have guests on here who are not only big impact entrepreneurs themselves, but have something really awesome to share with you. And look, we always see our guests as someone great to collaborate with, and you might just be one collaboration away from a big breakthrough. And today's guest is someone you definitely want to know. She makes a big impact in everything she does. And when it comes to performance, when it comes to marketing, and when it comes to really all things entrepreneurship. And we've had many, many conversations, and today we're recording one. So Deb Drummond is my guest today. Deb, welcome to the show.
Absolutely. This is fun. Chuck, thank you so much for having me. I love this.
Awesome. And I feel like this will be interesting to watch on video because my head is big and you're it. But I like that. I like the background. You got so much art back there and everything. Well, welcome. And I know we've been trying to do this for a while. So let's start with telling everybody a little bit about you. Who are you and what do you do primarily and whatever you want to say about yourself, and we'll go from there.
What am I doing on the show, and who says I know a little bit about anything? Well, I always love to say that I am fortunate enough, as well as you, Chuck, to be able to come to you from Canada, beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. So I live in Vancouver, Canada. I got two great humans as kids, and I have enjoyed an entrepreneurial journey. We're heading up into 30 years plus. Yes, I did start young. So I did start in my 20s. I've never left a corporate job. I've always been an entrepreneur. So it's interesting, right? The world of entrepreneurship is interesting. So I've had some vast years learning some really cool lessons. And predominantly what I think we're going to talk about, if we're talking about big impact, I fell in love with top performance a long time ago. So no matter what company I was building or what sector I was in, people call me a professional hippie, Chuck. They're like, my brain works like a Rubik's Cube. And truly, that piece of art back there that you like so much is a 1967 Janis Joplin poster. So I am truly a hippie, but I really love the cog of business. I think it's a really powerful creative form to play in. And I just spent a lot of years talking about top performance, teaching, training, optimizing. I have top performance planners and books. And because honestly, I think it can be frustrating being an entrepreneur. A lot of times people, when they get stuck on something, they're like, man, this isn't working. And I'm like, don't throw it away. You have to take the time to dissect it. Is it that it's not the right thing, or is it that you're just not doing it the right way? And 9 times out of 10, it's just that they need to change how they're doing what they're doing. And then the results completely shift. So that's what I spend my day doing.
Amazing. Now, is there an origin story to how you kind of got into that? Was there a struggle or something that you were experiencing when you were, with maybe your first business, or, where did you first come into contact with it, and what did it do for you?
Yeah. So two things. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I think it's somewhere in my gene pool, because when I see something, I automatically optimize it. Like if I'm having conversation with someone and they're telling me about their plan, I have to stop myself, because these bursts of bubbles of, oh, if you just do this and if you just do that. And I'm like, that's awesome. And I just learned to put my hand over my face, because there's a natural aptitude. But I also think I've built 7 international companies, and you can't help but go rice and peas and steak and lobster. You know what I mean? That's what we call it, right? It's like, woo, that was interesting. And how can we make that better? How can we make that better? But in my first company, I really, because it was a solopreneur company where I was literally doing massage, right? I spent many years in the holistic health arena, and it started off with my own massage business. And you learn how to optimize, because you are based on a time, it's time, right? So you only have so much time during the day. Now, look, I didn't care about that back then. There wasn't this world of, hey, optimize and scale and all that kind of stuff. I owned 2 direct sales companies. I understood scaling, but I loved what I did. But there came a time where you're like, I have to optimize this, because I've now had a second baby. This is happening in the world and expenses. And so how can you optimize what you do in love without changing what you do in love? And that's where I think I started to first optimize different things I could do, bring in, all of that.
Amazing. And, you know, because some people do find it very, very natural and kind of, you know, it's not like this big moment that kind of caused them to shift their life. And it's cool. When what I hear when you say that is that you're really tapping into some of your natural gifts.
I believe so. And here's the interesting thing. So spending so many years in the world of holistic studies, people would come to the studio and, you know, there would be books of holistic studies. You know, I used to teach perfumery. And so there'd be, you know, all of those books, right? And then there'd be a larger section of business books. And people would be like, I didn't take you for that kind of person, but I love marketing books. You should listen to some of my, you know, things that I listen to on, you know, those morning inspirations. It is a natural love for the design. Like, I think, you know, my son's an artist and he paints a number of different, you know, styles of art. And people are like, wow, that's incredible. You're so expansive. And I feel for me, business and creativity happens that way. I mean, yes, I can draw and I can do that, not like he does, but I find it a creative process to figure things out. And for me, it's like painting a picture.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, one of the things that I do well is I see patterns, and this is probably from my engineering background. It's not a creative, it's not an artist thing. It's just more of a, how do things line up and work? But similar to what you just said, like figuring things out, how they work, and then how do we can make them work easier? Why do we have to do things in 100 steps when we can do them in 12?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. So let's talk about kind of what you're, you know, hearing from people as you work with them, because this whole idea of top performance. What are some of the things you're hearing from people in terms of their struggles or in terms of, hey, I'm on this mission to make a big impact, but it's not going well. And, you know, people are always looking for tactics, right? It's like, I need this magic wand that's going to transform my business. But really, you know, we've talked a lot here about transforming ourselves as a way of transforming our business. So what are you noticing? What are you hearing from people in terms of the struggle that maybe they should be looking, you know, in this direction first before trying to find the next tactic?
So I think as entrepreneurs, there's two things that bubble up. One is the physical fatigue. I'm tired. There's another philosophy because two things. One, we hear and compare and think that everybody out there is doing it in 90 days because they took this program, this class, this, that, this, that. And so there's this should, or I'm not doing it right, or I'm not doing enough, or this program isn't working fast enough. I know I have value. You know, we're doing a lot of personal development and everyone knows they have value. They know they have skills. They know they can change other people's lives. Why is it not happening faster? Am I not charging enough? Am I charging too much? The ratio feels off. The ratio of success, the zeros, I want an X, 2X, 3X, 4X, what have you. And I don't know how to do that. And there's two things that I really note. So one of my top performance expertise would be in verbiage, right? So when I role play with somebody and I go, okay, so they're like, look, Deb, I need to make more money, or I need to add a new division, or I want to add a new division. And, you know, and hats off to the world of entrepreneurs, because a lot of my clients are coming up and go, I don't want to spend 5 years to get here. You know, I'm told I can do this quicker. Can I? And I think that we can start our business with really sharp schools, like, you know, really sharp tools. Sorry, is what I wanted to say. What I hear is, I don't want to say the word frustration. It is frustrating, but more than that, sometimes it's like a little disappointment, sadness. You know, so I'd say that's kind of under the frustration and a little bit of comparison. And like I said, most people are doing the right thing. So they're going on podcasts. No one's calling. They're, you know, because I'm in media, right? So they're on podcasts, or they're putting themselves out there, or they're speaking on stages, or they're going to trade events, or they're showing up at networking groups, or they're sharing. And I'm like, well, share with me. Sell with me. and we have that conversation. One of the things that I really make sure I teach people is profit calling, because you can drive all the leads that you want to somebody. All those people could call them from all the shows that they were on, but can they have that sales journey and conversation? Do they know how to open and close and all of the beautiful things that happen in a profit calling sales experience with somebody? So that's where you start to find the gaps. So before, like I said, before I tell people, don't do that or add this or change your logo, or, I mean, look at some people come and you're like, I think we should talk about branding. But before we do that, let's make sure that that's the problem. Let's make sure that that's the problem. And let's have that conversation. And so I called it an Inspector Gadget experience, because most of us keep doing, but we don't stop to inspect. And it's really hard to inspect your own business because you think that you're doing everything fantastic. And then it's another set of eyes that comes in and goes, let's just change this. Instead of the word need, change it to want. Instead of the word have, change it to get. Or let's have a conversation, or open it up, or even closing in a sale. If someone's like, you know, you're trying to sell to somebody, introduce your product, whatever you want to say. People are so scared of saying the word sell. That's what we do. You know, you're talking to somebody and they're like, you know what, I'm in renovations right now. And you go and offer up, well, this isn't a good time for you. Well, maybe you want to wait for them to say, this is not a good time for you. And then what do you say next? What do you say next? What's the thing that you say that's going to keep them in your sales funnel compared to not? All those things, I think, is the important thing to kind of break out. And I find that when I go through verbiage with people, we've probably covered at least 60% of the challenge.
Yeah. And what first of all, just asking the question so that they'll look there, because I know in my journey every day, people are looking for the magic wand. They're looking for that magic tactic. And it's about, or I want it, you know, I want, I'm at $100,000 a month. I want to be at $200,000 a month. And so it's about doing more of what they're already doing. But what you just said, it's not necessarily about doing more about what you're already doing. It's maybe there's an opportunity to tweak something or change something that could make it more effective than what you're being right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know in all the years of business that I've done that there hasn't been a considerable percentage ratio without adding a new program or a new this. Now, if you want to, that's fine. How are you going to add it? What is it going to look like? How are you going to introduce that? I mean, I've run, you know, a lot of times I get this question, how can you run so many businesses at the same time? And I go, well, because people imagine, oh my gosh, you have quadruple the amount of work to do. I don't necessarily have quadruple. If I have four companies, I probably have twice as much to do, because you can ratio. That's where top performance really comes in. Like, it's the same CFO, CMO. It's all the same people, whether they're doing an advertisement for this company or that company. It doesn't really matter. So it's about, so you can add, if you wanted 2x or 3x or 4x's, or we're all in this world of 10. I'd love to 10x. We'd all love to 10x. Mm-hmm. So, but what do you got to do from an infrastructure to 10x? What can serve three things at the same time as much as one thing at the same time? So yeah, that's the tweaks. Mm-hmm. Honestly, top performance is the 1-3% difference. Yeah.
What are some of the mistakes that you see entrepreneurs making that are kind of driving them further away from top performance, or making life more difficult for themselves than it really needs to be?
Yeah. Well, again, you're talking to someone a lot who has a media company, and what I hear a lot of is, I'm not getting the results of the form of marketing that they're doing, right? So I'll just answer that question, because there's a couple different answers that I can give you. So predominantly when people come to me and they're like, why do I need a marketing plan and a media plan? Not the same thing. If someone's media plan and they're an entrepreneur is all social media, that's only 15% of media. You're missing a whole bucket. They kind of get that. Their girlfriend's speaking, so maybe they will too. So they start to do what I call popcorn marketing, where they'll do a podcast. Here we are doing podcasts, right? Podcasts are great. I don't think they're great. I have one. I'm on them. I love them. What you do with them is what makes a difference. So, you know, you might be doing a show. You might go on a summit. You might do a print ad. You might go do a trade event. That's four different types. A lot of times people don't stack their media together. So they don't play one off each other, and they do what I call popcorning. So it takes four different pieces of energy, right? Four different pieces of energy. Instead of doing like a media plan, you want a 10x your income? Cool. Let's reverse engineer top performance and reverse engineer our sisters, you know, salt and pepper. So you need to go back through your year and decide how much media, how much marketing, what you're going to do, put in goal posts. In the middle of the year, when I work with my clients, Chuck, we know if we're on point. We know because we analyze it. We're like, okay, you want to go from 100,000 to 200,000. Well, we're only at 115,000. So our ratio is off. So we stop and we start to analyze what we're doing, whether it's working or whether it's not working. And what is working, we'll double down on. Or sometimes, honestly, we're past it. I'm like, okay, you're at 170. You've got, and I go, so go to the spa. Like, seriously, you want to take a vacation? Go. This is the perfect time to go. We can keep going and you can surpass the X, which most do. But I usually, if we're like that, I make people take some time off. I'm like, this weekend, nothing. And they're like, I know, but I'm like, nothing. Go for dinner, go to the movie, go to this and start to revel in some of the success. So putting in goalposts, most entrepreneurs, you know, bless us, we just keep going, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, you just mentioned something really important. And I would say in the last 30 years, myself included, I've known a lot of people who they just keep grinding. They just keep grinding. And I think entrepreneurs, business owners, you know, either there's a belief that that's what you need to do, or we're just wired that way. I know for myself, when I get into a good project, I don't want to stop until I just have to sleep. But you just mentioned free time and taking time off. What's your view on how important it is to build in that free time in terms of still being a top performer? It doesn't mean working all the time.
Yeah. Right? So why people, like, honestly, why I have a pretty, you know, abundant roster is because we want to top perform so that we have choices. Now, you're talking to someone who loves what they do, and most entrepreneurs what they do. I think there's two things to say here is some are wired, I being one of them, right? I love what I do. And I just want to tell people it's okay. If someone else goes to, you know, if they're into stamp collecting and you're into reading business books, you know, who cares? As long as your body feels good, as long as your health's not being compromised, and as long as there isn't people knocking on your door going, excuse me, we're in a relationship. Can I have some time? Like, so if you are at the boundaries of what you do and it feels good to you, like, rock and roll, baby. But the other part of that in terms of building it in, I think that when you are in a build, like you're bringing in a new division, you know, we just launched a television channel. You have to be honest with yourself. If you're going to bring in a project, prepare for that. Go for dinners, go for movies, because you're heading in to something that might take you 2, 3, 4 months. I talk to my family. I talk to the people that are my friends. I remember when we started this project, I called my friends and I'm like, here's my address, show up anytime. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to have time. And they hung in there with me. And then there was a time I'm like, hey, what's your favorite dinner? I'm taking you out for a night. My girlfriend, Tammy, I know her favorite restaurant. I'm like, meet me at Le Foie Bourgeois. I've got reservations. She's like, yay, you're back. So I think match your business to your personality. Don't feel bad about one or the other. Don't expect in a build to have balance. And don't forget that you need life's joys. So what gives you joy is what you need to incorporate. So for me, having time by myself in the morning is the fuel that I need and the brain break that I need to be able to do what I do. So I think it's variable. I probably didn't answer you in a standard answer, but joy is important, health is important, and who is important. Who? It's those relationships. So I have Sunday blocked up all day. My daughter's finding us spas to go to, and we're celebrating Mother's Day, which was a month ago. So I was in Ireland on Mother's Day. I didn't like lose my mind about it. I was doing something super cool and groovy. And now we're spending the whole day. She's like, when do you want to go? I'm like, I don't know. The whole day's off. It's yours. She's like, sweet. We're going shopping. I'm like, cool. So I think I base my balance, my breaks around joy versus the number, you know?
Yeah. And what I also heard is around relationships as well. And I often tell the story in my workshops where I notice patterns. And when I'm talking to people who are coming to us looking for help with marketing their business, I always ask, you know, what's the money for? And it's not just money because they want money. It's usually, I want a better life for my family. You know, I want to take my partner on this great vacation. I want to do this or whatever. And it usually the spark to build a business was this desire to either enhance a relationship or a family or, you know, just really for loved ones. And that how actually, when you kind of get down the road a little bit, businesses, if we're not careful, can take us further away from that goal. Because the goal wasn't the money. The goal was the lifestyle we thought we were going to have with our loved ones. I can't tell you how many, when we're on the road touring, doing seminars, how many of my fellow speakers were getting divorced because that wasn't working out. And so what's your take on that? Because, I mean, it just seems like so many of us start our business, not for the joy of doing business, but because of the life that we thought it was going to bring for our loved ones.
Yeah. I think that engagement is really important. You're talking to someone who's had two babies, you know, married, and my marriage didn't end due to our schedule. So I married for 17 years. Had relationships, and I can honestly 100% tell you my work was never an issue in any of them, because I say, don't lie to yourself. Like, first of all, don't lie to yourself. I stopped packing my runners when I went on business trips. You know why? Because I told myself I was going to exercise. Guess what? I never did. I stopped putting my runners in. So I don't lie to myself and I don't lie to others. So if I'm getting into a relationship, I tell somebody, this is who I am and this is what I do. I will more than likely be doing things on the weekend. If that's a deal breaker, then it's probably not a good idea, because I'm not going to lie to myself. This is what is required of me. Now, when I was in the crux of building businesses, and also, how much of your business are you doing? If you're doing part-time or you're doing 30 hours, this probably isn't a conversation that needs to affect you. But if you want to build, if you're looking to go into those big zeros, then there's going to be times where you're going to be unavailable. And so I just had a relationship or chose people in my life where that was okay from the beginning. Now that may change. Life may change. You have six kids and they're like, I'm not super excited about you not being here. So take responsibility for that and accommodate for that. So I'll tell you right now, there was a time when I had a marital status change and I was not financially fluid. Okay. And so I had these two kids and we were all going through this unexpected shift in our life. And I had, you know, let's say it's Tuesday night with my son. And so I paid somebody. I said to a woman that worked with me, I said, do you grocery shop? She said, I do. I said, do you want to make an extra $20 an hour when you grocery shop? She said, sure. I go, here's my list. Buy the things for my son. This is my list. Go buy it. Put it in my fridge. I'm going to take my kid and we're going to go play that night. So accommodate for it, right? Like, take responsibility for the fact that you are a rambunctious, excited entrepreneur. I took my son on trade shows with me, right? And I would bring in extra staff so we could hang out and we could spend time together. I remember being at the rodeo with him up in Armstrong. And then I'm like, hey, we have to go back to the booth for a couple of hours. Maybe he was 10 or 11. And so we go back, he goes, hey mom. I go, what? He goes, you walk by and be the customer and I'm going to sell to you. And I thought, oh, how cool. You know, how cool. When I went on trips, I used to leave a little presents for them each night. So they weren't huge presents, but it was something that they could, you know, cause I was so concerned they were missing me every night. It's probably pretty self-serving, but, made me feel better that they had this little gift to open up every single night. And I just kept my husband, my family, my people involved in a beneficial way to my business, because that was the truth. This is who I was doing it for. I don't know. That's my advice on that.
I love it. And, you know, because there's so many conversations I've had where this has been the motivation for business. Now, before we run out of time, I just want to make sure that we, you know, because I think we could talk about this all day. I mean, you're kind of triggering my inner, like, it is a subject. You know, I always say in my workshops, your business doesn't grow beyond the extent that you do, right? Like we grow ourselves. You know, we have to be top performers ourselves if we want our business to be top performance. Before we run out of time, how would you summarize your advice to our big impact entrepreneurs that they're on this path? Maybe things are going well, maybe they're not. And it could be in any given day. You could start the day great. It could suck by lunchtime, and then it could be great again by the end of the day. What's your biggest advice to this group in terms of, you know, finding their own top performance?
Finding your own top performance. First of all, the up and down of entrepreneurship, it's a get to, you know, I remind myself that this is a get to. I get to. So take out have to and put in get and just force yourself to do that. Don't expect to wake up loving in a happy love state of joy, no matter whether you're an entrepreneur or a person on the planet. Like sometimes we attach things to being an entrepreneur and not thinking that other people experience them. You don't think other people experience upheaval in their life, or they have a boss they don't like, or there's a manager that they don't get along with. I mean, you know, it's like pick your heart. Honestly, pick your heart. Which one gives you the most joy? In relationship to top performance, I think it's critical. I mean, honestly, it's a critical skill. I'm not saying hire me, but hire somebody. People go, wow, how have you been able to do what you've been able to do? Coaches, experts, at times in my life, therapists, counselors, like, you know, this isn't a solo journey. Life wasn't meant to be a solo journey. And entrepreneurship certainly isn't going to be a solo journey, particularly if you can't seem to break your own ceilings. And I'm not talking about going to workshops and trade shows and courses and all this stuff. Like, get someone that you can get real with, that you don't have to smile and go, oh, my business is great. Just like someone who's willing to get in there with you and stop pretending everything's not if it's not. You don't show up on events and go, hey, things are sucking right now, but there is someone that you need to pick up the phone and go, my head's not in, you know, I'm having trouble with what's going on between my ears right now. So I truly believe in that. And I think as we start to build, particularly with how vast and fast things go, and I've watched entrepreneurs go from wanting to make this much, you know, like six figures, people see the opportunity that is around. This is a very abundant time. People can scale much easier than they've been able to scale before. And that takes skills. Where do you think you're going to get it? So stop thinking you're supposed to know something or be somewhere that you're not. Hire somebody that does and just get it done.
Yeah. To your point, I hate this term people use to call themselves solopreneurs. You know, I called myself a reformed do-it-yourselfer because I was one of those people for way too long and just had to, you know, I love learning. So it was not a big deal for me to learn new skills. But man, when I learned to play well with others and to collaborate with others, things go much, much smoother. I mean, the best thing that we did in our business year and a half ago is I hired a project manager. And it's like, you know, just having the meeting with her once a week to go over things is probably better than a lot of coaches that I paid a lot of money to, honestly. It's just that check-in, you know, there's a good balance of tasks getting done and even some woo in there as well, right? Because when you hire someone who aligns with your values, you can have those conversations as well. So totally with you. When you need to have that person that you can just talk to, they're in your corner, and it's like not everything has to be rosy with them, right? Yeah.
It's not about making, you know, this is not a, you know, here's my music thing, like the magical musical tour, you know, it's going to be everything that you think it's going to be. Like, it's going to be everything you think it's going to be. It's going to be great. It's going to be hard. You're going to be tired. You're going to be elated. Like, there's no magic. The promises are the things that you bring true within your business for yourself, and they might change. But I can tell you from someone that's been here for a while, I got to go to every pumpkin patch. I can clear my day. I pick my holidays. You have to remember the joys. You have to remember the joys. And there are plenty. But, you know, I personally didn't get to where I got to without stretching myself. I call it the stretch of significance, right? And so it's supposed to be hard at times. It is. Go talk to Branson. You know, I'm sure he's had a few tears. Like, it just is what it is. So I think people are, how can I say it? They're too hard on themselves. Too hard on themselves.
Yeah, very much so. Like I said, amazing conversation. We could do this all day long, but I want to make sure we give people an opportunity to connect with you. Because I'm sure that there's people leaning in right now going, oh my God, she's speaking my language. So how do people connect with you, learn from you, work with you, et cetera?
Well, I make it very easy. So if you remember my name, you know where to find me. If you go to debdrummond.com, you will find a plethora of different things to play with. In relationship to top performance, I do two things. I offer three, I think, critical complimentary classes that people can join. I do it once a month. And then I do deep dive, 6-hour days. Let's get it done. Like, let's just get it done. So the three topics is knowing your media score. Very important if you're doing any form of media, should know your media score and how to media stack. That's critical. That alone will change people's lives. And then trade shows and live events, how to do them. Chuck, I was sharing with you earlier, just did a trade show this weekend with my son and we walked away. And I'm not kidding, probably 8 inches of entry forms of qualified people that want us to follow up. There's ways to do it that will, you know, you should walk away from every trade event saying I would pay double for that. And then, of course, I can't tell people how to bring leads. And well, I am going to teach you how to bring leads in. But then I teach profit calling and proper sales. Because if you have all these leads calling you and you have all this inbound, which is every, you know, entrepreneur's joy, what do you do with them? And how do you do with them so that your ratio of return and conversion is really high? So those are three classes that are complimentary and people can find that on my website.
Amazing. Well, if you're watching this on video, the links to all of Deb's stuff are right beneath this video. If you're listening to us on podcasts, just open up your phone, the player you're on, all the links are there as well. Deb, amazing. Before I let you go, we talked about this before, but we always like to give our listeners an opportunity to read a book or listen to an audiobook or whatever, you know, kind of is their must read or next read. Do you have a must read or next read recommendation that would be helpful for our audience?
Yes. Well, I'm going to do two.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we just produced a book of 262 gump. The criteria was gumption. So it is 262 self-funding, gumptuous women that have some very cool things to share. It's called, you know, Mission Accepted, 262 Women Entrepreneurs, Entrepreneurs, Creatives, and Media. You'll see it on my website. You can also see it where you can get all books, all things. And so, you know, go meet, you know, hundreds of people that want to learn about what you're doing as well. The other one is watch for the book that falls on off the shelf, the one that gleams at you, the one that someone gifts you by at a conference and just goes, I think this is for you. Or you walk by it at a bookstore and you keep going back and wondering why you need to read it. That's the next book that you need to read.
Oh, I love that. You know, out of 150 guests on this show alone, so far, you're the first person who said anything close to that. I love the answer to that. And it is so true. You know, trust the energy mm-hmm. of that. And there are signs and signals everywhere.
Very true.
Deb, thank you so much. That was amazing. And we definitely want people to connect with you. But before we go, any final piece of advice, words of wisdom for our audience?
You know what? There's 3 minutes while you put your head on the pillow to the time that you go to sleep, per se. And those 3 minutes will tell you if you're doing the right thing at the right time. If there's anything that you need to clean up, clean it up. And if you go to bed and you absolutely are wasted it, close your eyes because you poured it all out that day. Good on you. You're doing the right thing. Just pay attention to your 3 minutes.
I love that. Beautiful words to end this episode by. Deb, thank you. And to our audience, I want this to be time well spent for you. If you're still leaning in and if you're just, you really resonate with what we talked about today, go and click on those links beneath this video. Connect with Deb, take her free courses, connect with her, get the book, right? There's all sorts of great ways that you can benefit. Take one action of something you heard us talk about here today and keep moving forward, because you just might be one collaboration or a course or book or expert away from a big breakthrough that you need to make the big impact in the world that you are looking to make. So remember, there's no obstacle too big to be overcome. So, and the only way to fail is to quit. So keep moving forward and we'll see you on the next one. Thank you. This episode is brought to you by the Collaborators Toolkit. If you're looking for better ways to grow and scale your business through collaborations and strategic partnerships, our free Collaborators Toolkit contains the best resources from our workshops, as well as contributions from our guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday business challenges and to access highly effective ideas that can grow your business exponentially. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and our gift to you for being a valued member of our community and a subscriber to our show. You can get free instant access to the Collaborators Toolkit today by visiting our website at www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. That address again is www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. Register today and I'll see you on the inside.